Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West, West, West.
I'm your host today, Cat in a Hat, with...
Nat.
And Pat.
Today, we're going to talk about some Jessica Jones, or as I like to say, some JJ.
JJ and some cray-cray.
Some
All right, we'll definitely get into that. So we're all super jazzed here about Jessica Jones in general.
Super jazzed? I mean...
I said in general.
You said okay. General.
Jazzed. I'll go with jazzed in
okay.
general.
Nat's a little bit more of a slow jazz about this one.
And it may be the speed of the jazz that was my problem with the JJ.
So to get away from this ridiculous music metaphor.
I mean, it is an open. I think the opening is like a jazz beat too. So I don't. All right, moving on.
I actually skipped the opening for the last three episodes.
Just general reactions. What did you guys think of it?
I mean, I'll probably agree with Nat a little bit. It was slow on the uptake because, like, you'll see, like, I have notes for episode 1, 2, 3, and then 4 is like, and then after that, nothing because. I was actually invested.
Yeah, I think for me the season overall was less focused than season one, which is not probably a fair comparison. Season one of Jessica Jones might be the best of the Netflix shows.
Thing I will say that kind of frustrated me with season one of Jessica Jones is it wasn't Jessica Jones. It was the Jessica Jones and Luke Cage show.
Well, and like that's an integral part of the character is there her relationship with Purple Man and with Luke Cage and how those totally creates a fucked up scenario in her life.
I totally get it.
This one just it felt a little bit directionless, and I think it was 2 to 3 episodes too long, but the stuff that I liked, I really, really liked, and I absolutely love Trish. Trish was my favorite character this season.
Oh, yeah. I thought she was a freaking twat waffle.
But I think that's what made her interesting, like she was the most interesting character this season.
Yeah. No, I think that was great. Honestly, like I think I'll agree with you, Nat, like, this season was not as good as season one, but mm-hmm. that's unfair to it in general.
It's usually really hard to
compete Jessica
with.
Jones season one is one of my favorite seasons.
Yeah.
I would say out of all the Marvel Netflix stuff, Jessica Jones season one is number one for me.
I would probably agree with that, and then I would put Daredevil season two, so that switches the paradigm.
Yeah. Directionless, I heard this mentioned from you as well as our counterparts over at Capes and Scowls Not West. they also did
Capes
a
not West.
They also did a Jessica Jones season 2 last week review. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that they mentioned over there was that it felt directionless. However, to me, watching the show, so Jessica Jones season 1 is basically about rape culture. And Jessica Jones season 2, at least what I was getting out of it, is about trauma.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how to deal with this internal struggle that all these characters are feeling from traumatic events in their past, whether it's the Jessica directly dealing with the things in season 1, or Trish dealing with the stuff with her mom and her...
Addiction.
And her addiction, and... Jessica's mom, spoilers here.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. If you didn't get spoilers, we're coming.
Yeah, it's a review show. Don't listen unless you've watched the entire season already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jessica's mom coming in and dealing with her trauma as well, and Simpson's trauma, and everyone.
I kind of felt like the first season was about all the external things that were flying at her, and then of course and then this season's about learning a little bit more about her past, and then the internal traumas that she's been ignoring. And you know, at the end of the day, she might not be human, but she still has human feelings. And
yeah.
You know, snapping some dude's neck is not something most people can take lightly.
Yeah.
So would you think about the fact that the villain, quote unquote, per se, in this was more of an internal struggle and not an external struggle that we normally see in superhero shows? Like there was no bad guy.
I loved.
Per se.
I think And this is...
It's a lot about her battling her past is really right. what it came down to, is the, well, is the villain.
The fight of becoming a monster, and that was the theme that I got, was, like, how we become monsters in our own lives because of the choices that we make.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to Trish, it happens with Jerry, like, because she'll do anything to...
Dude, that was the one thing I will say, is, like, the first few episodes with Jerry was... In, like, the first few episodes, I'm like, what the hell is this? Why are you sad mess on the floor? What the hell is this bullshit?
There was some stuff about in Jerry's storyline that I would have just straight up cut if I had, like... And it's... There's a magic term for... this is showing more nerd. There are discard spells in magic where you look at your opponent's hand, and mm-hmm. the idea is to use it as a scalpel and not a hatchet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this season needed a little bit more of a scalpel to, like, carve a few things away from what the main through story was.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that the season hits a really, like, nice high in the middle. I think episode 7, for me, was the strongest episode of the season. And I think it's because I wanted more of the backstory. Like, I would have been okay with, like, 2 or 3 episodes dealing with the past.
Mm.
So everybody knows, that song was stuck in my head for
like, oh my god, me too.
It's still stuck in my head.
Right?
And then you guys mentioned it, I'm like, oh, it came right back.
Yep.
Season 7 is the flashback.
Yeah, it's AKA I Want Your Cray Cray.
Yeah.
I believe is episode 7.
Man. This song's great.
Yep.
No, it's really not.
That was like one of the hardest hitting episodes. Just that scene when Jessica walks into the bathroom and Trish is.
Oh yeah.
That's oh my god. Like,
well, there was like the season. I think 1, 2, and 3 for me of episodes was a little bit slow building the story. There's elements I really liked. I liked the wizard. That made me laugh. like that. That's
I think for me, like, it was slow, but also I thought Jessica Jones season 1 was also slow to get into.
Yeah, it
like,
does take a minute.
I don't know if it was like.
But at the same time, like, it, this one is. The way I like to read Jessica Jones sometimes when it comes down to storyline is fucked, super fucked, and. Okay, I should stop watching this. I need to go cry.
Well, and I think there was too much of the. Oh my god, I need to just stop watching this, I need to go cry episodes, and less of the really fucked, which I think I needed more of just the really fucked episodes, and less of the I want to go kill myself or cry.
Yeah, it was one of those where I'm like, am I watching anime right now? Why am I being voice stalked so right? much?
The ramp to the IGH storyline, I think, was really, really interesting in like seeking out what seeking Jessica's origins. I really liked that. Like, that was a really interesting plot point. And then to find out what the origins were and her ties to her mother, that was awesome. Like, the from 4 to 7, great.
Honestly, I like the fact, too, that her mom actually showed like, a spotlight on her family. And it turns out her family was, like, her parents just knew. Yeah. They didn't like each other.
Well,
I thought...
There was a lot of, like, even with when her mom would talk about her dad, there was a lot of, like, back.
Well, it was real. It was a real relationship that was, you know, and age-wise, I guess Jessica would be somewhere, like, close to my age, like, 35-ish, uh-huh. I think is what we're kind of seeing. So
I'd have to really think about that, because she was...
Somewhere in her 30s would be...
Yeah, maybe like
early 30s. She said she was 16 when she... They actually give off how many... Because she says how long her mom's been missing.
Because I assume in the... Oh, yeah, that's true. Because her... I think her mom had been
Google
missing
tech.
For 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Well, her mom was dead for 10 years, so like,
yeah,
that's...
Yeah, and then they had that car crash when she was 16, okay. So then the fact that they reunited, that would make her more like 26, 27.
Yeah, I was going
to
say...
And that seems too young to me, like, I don't think that's... Yeah. Not that we're going to get stuck in the semantics of the actual time of...
So, know. I guess going back to trying to get out of this technicality thing... That was one of my favorite things, I think, about this season, is how much of an amazing counterpoint for Jessica Jones her mom was.
Yeah.
Like, this was Daredevil and Punisher, But the fact that Jessica Jones's mom is her mom made it even more, like, the amount of times the Punisher tells Daredevil, like, you're just one day, bad day away from being me.
Yep.
In, season two. I think that, like, the fact that it's her mom makes that connection so clear that she doesn't even, like, you don't have to explicitly say
it. Yeah.
And then, on the other side, as another counterpoint, I thought Trish was another amazing thing to show what, like, I don't know. Like,
Trish being Trish is a success, but being, it turns out, just envious of her sister the whole time.
Yeah.
Dude, she was a bitch.
I think the Trish subplot was probably was something that made this whole season worth it, yeah. Honestly. Like,
well, because she was a driving force, like, in many ways, Jessica didn't want to keep going with it. She didn't want to pursue the IGH line and really, like, look for all of this stuff. But Trish kept going and badgering her. No, 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 yeah. We need to. And it turns out that Trish is falling into her addiction to do that. And that Trish, she was the most interesting character for me. Like, she makes such bad decisions in this season, too. Not only her, like,
addiction to drugs, but her addiction to power and personality as well. Uh-huh. Like, even though, like, she knows that what her mom did to her back in the day with Cray Cray and all that stuff was basically tearing her apart, she does end up wanting to be, like, a radio and TV and news personality. Like, just in, she still wants to be a personality like her mom wanted, just in a different way.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really interesting thing. And then, like,
everybody knows who Trish Walker is, right? Or who she ends up being, right?
Patsy Walker?
Yeah.
That was my, like, favorite part. The very final scene of it when she catches her cell phone on her shoe. I was like, yes!
I got yelled at a little bit because I
Patsy just, Walker, aka Hellcat.
That's exactly what I told my girlfriend. She's like, way to ruin it for me! And I'm like, I don't know what you want from me! That's literally...
Yeah.
Well, and
so now I'm really looking forward to season three. Obviously, they have to have one with Hellcat as, like, the main antagonist.
I was mostly just hoping that they would go at it, to be honest, because Jessica does not like her anymore. Their friendship's toast.
There's a lot there that I don't like about the way that their relationship went down near the end. Not that I thought that a happy-go-lucky ending was going to happen, but...
Does anything about Jessica Jones, the show, or the comic, give you an idea that it's going to be happy-go-lucky?
No.
I will say now that she's besides, what's the name, Oscar?
Yeah, and I don't like him at all.
She's completely alone. Like, that's the one thing. She's definitely segregated now. She lost...
Yeah.
You know, she's lost... I can't even think of his name. She's lost Malcolm, which... I feel like he's kind of a tool, too.
Yeah.
She's lost Malcolm... Trish did a
Jessica
horrible...
Jessica taught him well.
Yeah.
Oh, she did. I was just like, I just remember that end part where I'm like, I knew it was going to happen, and then I saw it was Trish, and I was like, no, what have you done?
Yeah, that was actually really jarring, like, that whole sequence. It's like just mid-statement all of a sudden, boom! I was like, oh shit. The headshot?
Oh, yeah.
And she actually threw her, and she was going to kill her, too. She thought about it.
Yeah, there's a lot that, like... The season, I think it just would have been benefited for two episodes shorter, like a little bit more of a restriction on the episodes.
Yeah.
I think for me, this was really, there was a little bit of that representation of just because you can doesn't mean that you should.
Yeah.
And because you're given 13 episodes doesn't mean you should write it into 13 episodes. It might have been like a 10 episode season. Oh, it would have been so much tighter. You would have spent... You could have halved some of the moments that lingered a little bit that may have just been like, okay, let's get on with it.
Get on with it.
Yeah, I really like the last three episodes or so. And it wasn't all of the last three episodes, but I was sitting there watching going, I kind of wish I was watching something else right now.
No, I totally feel you. Like, the entire, like, three-episode arc with her mom, it's like, I know what's going to happen. Yeah. Like, why do we have to linger so much on this? And I totally agree with you. I think, like, that's one of the ways you can kind of find yourself in a bunch. And one of the reasons why, like, network TV is actually, like, a lot of times stronger than, like, formatless television is because you have to write it into a 45-minute episode.
Yeah.
Or into an 11-minute or 22-minute episode.
Use the restriction to write something stronger. Mm-hmm. But the negative point to that is that network TV has 23-episode seasons, you know, and that's just... What Netflix and HBO has taught us is a shorter season and maybe releasing two seasons a year or splitting a 13-episode season into two arcs is much better storytelling.
That's a lot of what Once Upon a Time did. I mean, then they tried... It's a different story for
Daredevil. Daredevil season two, the most recent... The seasons of Game of Thrones, even though we're, you know...
Even though they're garbage.
Whatever. Fan service is sometimes a good thing.
Well, but no, I mean, I totally take that, like, totally tangentially here. Like, one of my favorite animes of all times is Fooly Cooly, which is a 6-episode single season.
Is it 6? I thought it was 4.
But either way.
Yeah, it's, like, it's super short.
And then they're going to release 2 new seasons of it soon, back to back. So I imagine it's going to be 2 seasons of 6 episodes again.
Voltron is 7 episodes a season and 2 seasons a year.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, give me a tight story and then move on.
Mm-hmm.
There's... I think Jessica gets lost, too, in the last couple of episodes of the season, and that made me, like... She waffles so back and forth between whether or not she's going to be a daughter or be a hero, and I get that morality-wise, that's a good thing, but it kind of... It was too much for me. Like, at some point in time, I wanted her to just be like... I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, and just get up and go, because...
Yeah, and I think that I think that was another interesting thing with her character arc, is she's always been, like, somebody to take the whole world on her shoulders all by herself and fix all the problems in the world without any help. And then, like, this was really kind of, like, the breaking point in that classic, like... It's, like, the classic superhero trope... taken to a whole nother level where it's like, I don't want to be this superhero anymore, I just want to be a regular person.
Yeah.
But she tries to do both for, like, as long as she can, and in the most, like, personally splitting way possible.
Yeah. Did you guys like the reveal of it being her mom? Like, was that something that...
Yeah, that was, to me, that was really interesting.
I just, like, I spend most of my time calling her Old Lady Hulk.
Old Lady Hulk.
Old Lady Hulk.
She get pissed off and break people's necks.
Yeah, that's true.
I loved it. I was so surprised by it because they use her family's death as such a strong point of, like, driving her through. Mm. And I never made the connection. I don't know why I didn't make my connection in my head that, like, whole event is where she developed powers from.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole, yeah, it just, it was a nice ring.
Like the car crash?
Yes. Like, so...
Well, they said that in season one, too, that she...
Like, when she woke up, that
woke
she...
Woke up and had super strength.
I never just clicked them like that. It would have been the hospital that she went to was what did that.
So, oh, that's what she... Yeah, well, I mean, like
because they write it off like a trigger event. Like, the car crash itself causes the powers.
Yeah,
you know, like, that's the, like, awakening moment.
You know,
it's not
like
that
Daredevil getting acid splashed in his eyes or something like that.
Yeah.
Now he has superpowers.
Right, but now... But it wasn't. It was actual experimentation.
Yeah.
Sorry, she's great in Defenders, and it's like a totally side note.
And
a
that's
lot of
something
people
that...
write off Defenders, too, which
it's
I
not,
find weird.
It wasn't... So, like, watching that and kind of making comparisons, like, I think she's a lot more snarky in it, which is just makes me so happy. I felt like in this season there was a lot less snark, which is always unfortunate because that's, like, what makes Jessica Jones Jessica Jones is her snarky schmarmy bullshit that she does. Yeah.
I feel like that's one of the things that Defenders is really strong about, since it is a shorter season, like stuff
yeah,
we're talking
it's like
about. It's only like 7 or 8 episodes.
It's a lot more comic booky,
There's,
and I think that's what turned people,
like,
off.
The characterization in it is, like, so spot on, and, like, the character dialogue especially is way more... More,
one,
like,
of my favorite things
characterized, like,
that she says in that, I'll hit you so hard you'll see.
Right? That's
or just the scene on the train when she's just, like, staring at the guys, like, the sleeping guy's beer.
I think that, too, was another connection to me that I didn't understand. Like, did this happen before Defenders?
From what I understand, it happens after Defenders, but, like, I was thinking about that, like, there's almost no connection in this season to
other shows. That was kind of my thing, is I thought
like, I wanted Luke Cage to show up. I really wanted Claire Temple to show up. Yeah. Like, give me some Rosario Dawson. Like, where are you at, girl?
Like, even a mention of Luke would have been, like, something to be like, I shouldn't be in this scenario again. Every time I'm around people like Luke,
yeah,
then bad things happen. Like, something, but there seemed to be nothing there. Yeah.
The only thing that, the only, like, tying factor that happened was, like, the, like, 3 second scene when Foggy showed up.
Oh, that's right! He showed up in Jerry's office,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because he works for Jerry Hogarth now.
Yeah.
Who
I didn't like this season. I love Carrie Ann Moss. I just didn't like Jerry.
You didn't like Jerry? I love the Jerry really? Subplot, too. Like,
I would say the beginning portion of it was screwed, and then when it finally came down to quit being a sad sap, and I realized how much of a manipulated, like, bitch she is, I'm like, yeah, that's it, that's her, what the
hell? Oh, yeah. that whole scene when she goes to,
I can't think what's of her name.
I can't think of her name, the girl Inez Green.
Oh, yeah.
When she goes to her place and, like, that was so fucked. I was like, this is like Jerry at her Jerry-est right here.
Well, and that's when she comes back from everything, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that is, that's when she, cause like she gets the gun and you think she's gonna like go in and like kill them and stuff, but then she ends up manipulating Inez to kill her boyfriend, and then she calls the cops on her to get her arrested. I was like, this is like totally fucked.
Yeah.
And like the most Jerry way possible.
Did we ever get a full, like, that guy did not have powers, right?
Like, no, he was basically just like a con artist using the fact that some people have superpowers to con people.
Yeah, because she has ALS, which I was like sitting here, I'm like, can we just tell me what this is? Anybody? No.
ALS was what? Oh, never mind. We're gonna get on a tangent. No need to do that. I did like Carl too, like as a character. I think his name is Carl.
Carl,
the scientist that was with Alyssa.
Oh, yeah, he was really
the deadhead. Like that was like,
oh my god,
he was really.
I really connected.
My girlfriend's like, "Is
he
wearing a Flash shirt?" I'm like, I doubt it. It's a Marvel show. That doesn't make sense.
Maybe it's Shazam.
And the first words out of my mouth is like,
"He was wearing a Grateful Dead."
That was the first. That's what I said to her. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's a Grateful Dead t-shirt. Yeah. From just seeing him.
I think he has a Grateful Dead t-shirt in every
It switches from Doors to Grateful Dead.
Oh, okay.
I really like that because I'm a huge Doors fan.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it flashes, like, you see him and I'm like, no, that's a Grateful Dead t-shirt.
Yeah. I loved that pair. Like, he was... And even when he's working with Trish, he's, like, joyous. Like, about the fact, he's like, oh my god, I get to try this on somebody who's completely healthy.
Yeah.
Like, this could be, like, the greatest achievement of my life.
Yeah.
And it's not until he sees her, you know, bleeding out of the mouth and Jessica almost killing him, he's like, what the fuck have I done? Like, there was...
Yeah, he really was like stoner, like one track mind.
Yeah,
kind of thing. Like, whoa, man, this is gonna be super.
Like,
cool.
This is amazing,
oh, shit, man. This is totally harsh in my buzz now.
But like, and for what years? I mean, because you know, we at least 10 based on our timeline thought. So, well, yeah, I liked him.
Yeah, he was a really good character. In general, I thought like this wasn't so much a season of. Like a storyline so much as like 10 different subplots just interweaving together. It basically like Game of Thrones did.
I thought
was really interesting, but I thought could definitely be off-putting for the typical superhero show watcher who kind of wants a bad guy for the main character to go against the whole time.
Hey, they set it up as a bad guy the whole for the
They did. I mean,
and then they just flip it on you. So.
They totally did, and I guess that is true.
I actually could have lingered on the monster idea a little bit longer. Like
that would have been good.
You like if they could have, and I hate doing this because this is such a fucking pretentious thing. But if like this season was slightly restructured and shortened, but then extend the reveal to maybe one more episode late, and then.
I agree with you. Like, I thought that was one of the craziest like scenes when they're in the warehouse.
Hearing Simpson scream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
and
that
then
was,
you just see the shadowy figure like right across the room. I was like, oh,
the shadowy figure jumps over them. Cause at yeah that point I'd be like, oh, we in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's exactly what it was. And I thought, like, if we could get a few more, like, shadowy flashes of
right
the quote monster. I yeah totally agree with you on that one, even though it is, like, such a cliche thing.
It is, but it was, like, it was such a good, like, portrayal. And it was really, like, there was that, yeah, I guess the elements of the first half I really liked. It took too long to get there. Mm. But all of the pieces were really, really strong. And then it would have, that IGH through line would have been better for me if it was just a little longer that we're chasing after IGH.
Yeah, yeah. And I think in general, like, if they had, even though, like I said, I enjoyed the aspect that it was a bunch of subplots, if they had kept one overarching storyline
yeah
throughout it, like either the monster thing or the IGH thing, or even like if they had brought one of the other subplots into the forefront a little right bit more, like the Malcolm thing being like a crux of the season, I think it would have really benefited yeah like plot wise.
And honestly, I didn't need any of Oscar's relationship with his baby mama. Like, I didn't need that at all.
I liked the amount they had, which was like three times.
The season, like, and once again, this is because I think I just got bored of it by the end of the season. The, like, the bus scene and all that. I was like, I don't want this. Like, you're wasting my time.
I don't know. I thought that did a lot. Did, sort of going on a slight tangent here, do either of you watch BoJack Horseman?
Mm-hmm.
There's a very interesting, the first three seasons of BoJack Horseman, which I'm just throwing out there, it's an amazing show. Extremely nihilistic. He's a lot like Jessica Jones in that he's just like a heavy drinking nihilist.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth season of it was very much like the same ideas sort of towards the end of Jessica Jones season two, which is like this sort of weird, like, if you have something in your life that forces you to pull yourself together, like a family, then
you
like
will.
You might as well, because like it's either like nothing or something.
Uh-huh.
And so like why not choose something in this great existential nihilistic thing.
I did enjoy the fact that the crazy in Jessica's head was personified as Kilgrave.
Oh,
I heard his
too
voice and I was like, what?
Yeah. I see, and I
burn a building down.
I took that as the other way, as like because by that point in time, I was tired of the, like, I was getting to the point where I'm like, okay, I need, I feel like we hit the climax of the season already. This is taking too long to get through the denouement. And then it was like, well, we don't really know what to do. Let's bring back the popular villain! And I was like, okay, no, I'm out. And I'm like, this is, I get it. I get what he personifies, and that works. I just,
oh, I loved it. I loved every aspect of that episode.
Yeah. Well, he was in it for the last three.
Oh, the whole three?
He's part of, until the very last moment where she basically tells him that I don't need you anymore.
He says,
I'll be around if you need me.
This is what happens when you classically binge shows. Like, I never binge shows, except I finished Jessica Jones season two in about 3 days.
Well, after our last recording, just like I told Matt, I went home and I watched all of them.
Yeah, so, like, it just blends together in my head. Like, you're like, what are the episode titles? And I'm like, episode title? You mean Jessica Jones season two?
Yeah, that's the title.
I need the breathing room between stuff. I do binge watch. Most of it is, like, three episodes at a time.
I typically do. And this was like one of the things that I just didn't. I broke my normal mold. And see, I did the three episodes at a time too, and then I just did it like 4 days back to back.
I think I did 5 episodes in the last run, and that probably was something I shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so for me, I'm like, all right, let's go again.
Oh, yeah. That was the thing. I wanted to watch the after I Want Your Cray Cray. I wanted to go to the next episode, but it was like 2 o'clock in the morning at that point, and I'm like, I need to say that there's a stopping point for me. Yeah. And that I wish I would have chunked out the next two and then finished it off.
Well, even now I'm I'm rewatching.
We do want your cray cray. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I want that music video. Like, yeah. Release a full video.
I really do.
I thought there was a full video. I thought that entire... I'm hoping that 2 minutes was all song. That really was just a 2 minute song, because...
Oh, no, I'm
like...
I want the 4 minute extended cut with the
I'm like,
the
how can I get
middle?
On the roof? And how can I jump off at
yeah,
first?
Featuring Fetty Wap. Yeah. I love it.
That was a...
Hey, I want you, Craig. I can't do a Fetty Wap voice.
I think maybe this speaks to, like, the storytelling styles I gravitate towards, is wanting more of the background information. So, like, what I pulled out that I enjoyed the most was, A, the complete episode that just dealt with being in the past.
Yeah.
And then the IGH and the history of Jessica's origins, and then the fact that she could turn into a monster. So there was too much superfluous stuff for me that I'm like, I don't care about any of this. Yeah. Like, I want more
too much
of this
story. Takes place in the present.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I'm like the exact opposite. Like, to me, like, as a storyteller, like, that's one of the rules, and I think I mentioned this in our last episode, but you want a story to start and end as close together in time as possible. And so, like, flashback episodes, while I did love the flashback episode, it always kind of irks me in the back of my head, because I'm like, you can do all of this in the present with, like,
I would like to point out
in
that episode,
writing.
Too, she, like, worshipped that guy, and I mean, her agency is named after the club he was going to do and everything like that. Turns out he was a dickbag, just like apparently.
But she doesn't know that either.
I thought she found out from her mom, because I thought she told her.
She kind of tells her, but did Jessica, like, believe it?
Yeah. There's a lot there that was sort of ambiguous to what was and what wasn't. I don't know. And it's not to say that I didn't like the season. I actually did like it. I like it more now that we've talked about it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's growing on me more to watch certain elements and maybe, like, to do another rewatch. That's a lot of commitment, and that's a depressing show, so I don't know if I can handle that.
That's probably why I didn't, because I was like, I should rewatch it before we do the review. I don't know if I can handle that much depression. I watched it last week. That's 1 week. I can't do 2 weeks of depression.
Yeah. I like to always make the comparison. It's like when your favorite band releases a new album and it's slightly not as good as the last album that they released, and you're like, man, this isn't nearly as good as the last, and then you think about it and you're like, but as far as albums go in general, this is still one of the best albums ever recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I feel like that's how I was and how both of you were.
Yeah.
Is the general consensus I'm getting. It's like, everyone's like, it's not nearly as good as season one, but wait, as far as, like, television goes, it's still one of the best, like, seasons of a television show out
Most there. Definitely. I mean, I don't, like, it wasn't as good as season one, because at the same time, you also had, I don't, like, you fit depression into 13 episodes, that's like, I don't know what's on top of depression, but damn, that one, oh man, I remember watching it, because I watched it just randomly one day. And I was sitting in my room, and I watched, like, 5 or 6 episodes, and I'm like, okay, one, I need to go to bed, and two, I might cry myself to sleep.
Of Jessica Jones?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I was
like, getting onto the Jessica Jones train, too, myself, because I was like, I'm not a big, like, detective show fan, and I'm not, like, a big...
I'm sorry, but when she impersonates people, it's fucking great.
Oh my gosh, that was the best part of, like, season one, when she's actually doing, like, her private eye work.
Uh-huh.
Hi, this is Connie from the lottery. You're a winner! Call us back!
See, I missed a lot of that stuff in season two.
I think it only happened in the very beginning, so...
There wasn't as much private eyeing, which I'm like...
Even the worst,
like,
part
all
is...
All other private eye shows can go to hell, but this one, like,
right.
I want her
well,
to
Well, even
be
the
private eye
stuff that she did, like, I remember when she was talking to that guy, I'm like, this isn't funny, this is just sad.
Yeah. There's also the, like, the private eye rivalry thing that kind of gets lost in the season. Which was interesting, and I like the fact that, like, Jerry was the motivator behind that, and... And then it picks it back up. Yeah.
I really like the Malcolm subplot in it.
There was a
Malcolm's, yes, his subplot was
the
really
definite. The one thing I did say is they definitely played off a lot of there was some decent misogyny in there too that they hid. Like that one guy, the Chang is his name, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He's
a douche.
Oh god, yeah. He's such a douche.
Well, that was the thing. Is like
I always
bro five. Yeah,
I always arrive on time.
Well, the best part was like I heard you kill him. I'm like, I don't think she's. I'm like, do you know how much? Just I want people to think about this. Your bones are put together with ligaments and muscle, and to rip those off, I don't think Jessica Jones is that strong. That's a lot of fucking force.
She didn't threaten somebody by saying that she would come back and rip their arms off.
I think that was after, though.
I think she is. I mean, she picked up a car. Like, she can pick up a car. She can like half stop a bus.
See, this is like the moment in time where my giant like, because I like physics and anatomy a lot. There's like a moment in time where I really want to find out how much force it would take to rip off a ligament. Because she ripped, I think her mom ripped a dude's arms off.
Yeah.
And then I think spun his neck all the way around, right?
Well, that, Jessica Jones, the neck spinning scenes, man. Oh.
Well, Jessica did that to Kilgrave.
Oh, where she broke his neck?
Yeah, she twisted his. Did she or?
I thought she just broke his neck.
Oh, maybe she did. I'm gonna have to go back. I am actually like very slowly rewatching the first season now.
Mm-hmm.
So
I had a thought just now and I completely lost it. I can't remember what it was.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Oh, Jessica's powers scare me. Like as a a fan of superhero comics for such a long time, like she's super strong. She can jump really high, she's super athletic. She's not invulnerable.
Yeah.
She doesn't have like Teflon skin or anything, like it's the way that her powers work, she could put herself into a situation where she seems to have the upper hand, but a bullet will just end her.
Yeah.
It's like that's a dangerous. Like, I could see why she's not like out in costume. Like that's not, she's not.
I think that was one
impervious.
Of the, that was like a really great and like classic superhero fight scenes in the first season between her and Luke Cage, where she can't punch Luke Cage because she'll like break her hand.
Yep.
Like she isn't impervious, and so she had to like go at him with like a pipe or something like
shoot
that.
Shoot him with a shotgun right up the chin.
Yeah, exactly.
That was ridiculous. God damn.
Well, do we have some final thoughts if we want to?
I would say watch it. I know that, like they said, it does. Like, the first three episodes are a little bit difficult to get through because, like, that was my thing is you can, like I said, I've got notes for the first couple, and then all of a sudden there's no notes because I actually got really involved in the season. And once you get past the first three, it's pretty easy to watch after that. And then you hit episode 7 and you're like, I need to take a break mostly because a song is stuck in my head, so I need to go beat my face into the wall for a while.
I would say I liked it, and I think that I hope there's more Netflix stuff. I really do. And I hope that this deal.
Luke Cage is coming out this year.
Well, that's one I'm actually less excited for, but like a season 3 of Jessica Jones or another season of Defenders.
I was waiting for Daredevil.
I think Daredevil
season 3 is almost finished.
It's supposed to come out either late this year or early next year as well.
Well, I'm pretty sure, and then
I need to finish Punisher too, but I can't. I need to take a moment and not do depressing TV for a while.
I need a time where I don't feel like the world is a black hole.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say for me, like this was a season of themes and subplots.
Oh yeah.
So like, watch it. Don't watch it as like a superhero TV show. Watch it as like,
well,
I don't know. Well, I guess don't go in there expecting a classic like boots and capes Daredevil. Mm-hmm.
It's a brightly colored film noir with superpowers.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a great.
You may cry. You probably will. I cried.
Yeah. So
I just got real depressed. Really, that was my thing. Yeah,
even just talking, it's not a binging show either. Don't do that.
No.
It's like we're getting depressed just talking.
Yeah.
I need to go look at something.
But you've probably already watched it, or else if you're listening to this, it's kind of weird.
Exactly.
So you probably agree with us in the fact that, yeah, I'm a little sad right now.
have a conversation about it.
Yeah, and we'd like to hear your thoughts about it, too.
Yep.
Yep.
Anyway, so I guess with that, being said, let's say goodbye.
Bye! Bye.